Thank you, Brother Caleb. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here. Today, I want to talk about a topic that it seems to be hitting many people around the United States. It's about depression. But the title of my message is, God is Always Faithful. No matter what we go through, God is always faithful to see us through. If there's anyone here who has ever experienced depression or is going through depression or knows someone who's going through depression or someone that just is always sad, always seems hurt, they seem like they're trapped. The reason I brought this up, because I tell you, if I get all emotional, it's because it's not that I'm a crybaby. It's just that ever since I came back to the Lord and really got into the Lord and got stronger in the Lord and got closer to the Lord, every time I talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it just touches my heart. Yeah. Because of what he does and how he can fix a hurt person. And that's what God does. He fixes hurt people. Church is like a hospital. We come because we're sick. No matter what it might be, no matter what the situation you're going through, God is always faithful because he's God. He loves us that much. And you know that because his son went to the cross to show us how much he cares for us. And he also cares for everything you're going through and any situation you might be in. God cares and is always faithful to us. And I don't want to get too much into it. I just want to share a little bit. But if you go to Philippians chapter 4, real quick, like, please. There are so many things that are going on in our country today. And I just looked it up a little bit about depression. Maybe some of you know about it. Some of you have experienced it. As I said, maybe you know someone that's going through it. And sometimes it's because things that have happened in our past, things that people have done to us, or a circumstance, situation, a death, an accident that somebody had, you know, you love them and maybe didn't make it, or whatever the case may be. Depression is a very dangerous thing. And sometimes it feels that you can't get out of it. It feels like you're in such a, for me, I felt like I was in such a cave, a dark cave, a cave that you just kept walking through and there was no way out. It's just so dark. You could look left, you could look right, you can look backward, you can look forward, you can look up, you can look down, you can look all around. And it just seemed like there was just no way out. For me, depression was one of the most miserable moments in my life. And I'm going to admit, it tore me apart. I thought things that I didn't think I could ever think. I really didn't think those things could come into my mind. But that's just another story. But let me read Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything, no matter what it may be, let your requests be made known to God. It says, be careful for nothing. For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Everything that was mentioned there, think on those things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says. He goes on to say, well, do. Think on these things. Do it. Do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. I'll go over that after a while, what it means. But see, he tells us what to do. For me, when I was going through depression, well, you know how they do it. Doctors will require for you and prescribe medication. If it works, do it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a professional counselor. I'm just a human being who has been through depression. And it was tearing me apart. So my heart goes out to anyone who goes through depression or even in the verge getting into depression. Some people don't even know they're going into depression. I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going through. I didn't understand what was happening to me. I just felt changes in my life. My thought process was going crooked, cuckoo, crazy. And I'll be honest, I just didn't want to live like that anymore. Those are thoughts that cross a man's mind or a woman's mind, a person's mind. You feel like you're all alone. You're by yourself. There's no help. So I decided to go to the doctor and had a talk. I had to humble myself because I grew up. My father taught us that we don't talk about things that bother you. Men don't do that. And I lived like that all my life. But it got to the point where it drove me nuts. I had to humble myself. You're not a sissy man if you got a problem to talk to somebody. A lot of men, they get too macho. That's how my father raised us. He always used to tell us, of course in Spanish, but he always used to tell us, if a man has a problem, the man's going to handle it, no matter what it is. You don't run to somebody else. You figure it out and you get it done. Well, I tried that way, and it almost didn't work. But God is always faithful. Just a little bit of what I've read and studied a little bit is about depression is one of the most common mental illnesses in the United States, affecting about 26% of adults. Depression is technically a mental disorder, but it also affects your physical health and your well-being. We need to learn more about some of the most common symptoms about depression, as well as how depression can affect your entire body if it's left untreated. Feeling sad or anxious at times is a normal part of life. But if these feelings last more than 2 weeks, they could be symptoms of depression. It's estimated that each year, 17 million American adults will experience depression. It's a lot of people. However, clinical depression, especially left untreated, can interrupt your day-to-day life and cause a ripple of effect of additional symptoms. Depression affects how you feel and can also cause changes in your body. Major depression, a more advanced form of depression, is considered a serious medical condition that may have a dramatic effect on your quality of life. Depression can cause a lot of symptoms within the central nervous system, many of which are easy to dismiss or ignore. Older adults may also have difficulty identifying cognitive changes because it's easy to dismiss the signs of depression as related to getting older. I'm only 66 years old, and I had to open up, and I've never been 66 years old. When I was 50, everything seemed normal. And then when I hit 55, and then when I hit 60, I felt changes in my body and my life, my mentality. And then when I turned 66 in May, it might not be old to some guys who are older, but I'm old to those who are younger. But little did I know that nobody told me that I was going to have changes. I didn't know. I was feeling different things in myself. And I talked to my doctor, and he kept telling me, well, Ricardo, it's a part of growing old. It comes with the changes. Your body's getting older. In the beginning, it wasn't like that. Of course, because God created everything perfect. We weren't supposed to get old. But since sin has fallen into the world, that's part of sin. We're getting old. I have to accept that. But I can do it with God in my sight. Why? Because God is always faithful. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You may also feel tired all the time or have trouble sleeping at night. Other symptoms include irritability, anger, and loss of interest in things that used to bring pleasure. Depression can cause headaches, chronic body aches, and pain that may not respond to medication. That was me. I had a lot of aches and pains, and I'm going through them right now. My doctor surprised, he even told me that. He's surprised that I'm walking. For the condition that I have, of the accident I had over 40-something years ago, I got a lot of arthritis, and I got depressed. I'm hurting all the time. I try not to show it, but I'm always aching. But God is always faithful. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be either on a wheelchair, using a cane, or using a walker. But I trust my God. The doctor tried to cram medications down me. I took depression medications for a while, but it seems like medication made it worse. My thoughts were bad enough as it was when I was depressed, but the medications did not make me any better. It's a trip. I'm going to tell you the truth. It was a trip on those medications. I couldn't believe the things that would come across my mind. That was a heavy-duty trip. So I just said, and I don't recommend this for anybody. I'm just saying what I did. I said, no mas. I'm going to trust God. And I don't take no medication for that kind of stuff. There are medications that we can take, like for heart, high blood pressure, and things like that. But for depression, I'll never touch another one of those pills. I'm going to trust God. Why? Because God is always faithful. He's the greatest medication I can have. He created my body. He knows what I went through. But I'm never going to tell anybody, don't take your medication. Always talk to your doctor. I just did what I did. But I don't recommend that to anybody. I'm just one of the fortunate ones because I just couldn't handle it. I didn't want to go through all that anymore. But anyway, I just wanted to share that a little bit. People with depression may have trouble maintaining a normal work schedule, fulfilling social obligations. This could be due to symptoms such as inability to concentrate, memory problems, and difficulty making decisions. It affects almost everything in your thought process. It was driving me loco. But I want you to know that God is always faithful to see you through. I'm not going to go through the rest of this because I want you to know. I just wanted to share a little bit that depression is a very dangerous thing. And if you ever feel that you think that you're feeling depressed, I suggest you get help. Talk to somebody. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your pastor. Spiritual help is the greatest medicine. Reading the Bible is the greatest medicine. But I want you to know, God is always faithful. Father, give me the strength, Lord, to share what I need to share, Lord. And if there's anyone here, Lord, who hurts, always feels worried, they feel down and out, I pray that your word would touch their heart. In Jesus' name. We need to discover truths from the Bible about depression and how to fight it. We need to study and meditate on scripture that will encourage us to find peace and joy in the midst of depressing circumstances and feelings we can overcome. Depression, with the help of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the help we need. Psalms 34, verses 17 and 19 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God will deliver you from whatever your circumstances may be, whatever you're feeling. God will help. God will see you through. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. For I am thy God. He's our God. He knows what you're going through. I was asked, then why would we want to tell God anything if he already knows? Because when we talk to God, it shows our dependency on him. I'd rather depend on him than a pill. Speaking for me. I'd rather depend on God. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is there to give us the comfort we need, the peace that we strived. And that's what happens when you're going through depression. You try to find peace here and there and everywhere, in this and that. You try to find peace. Whatever it takes, you're just trying to find some kind of calmness. And it's not easy, because sometimes when you're going through depression, it's just hard to figure out how to think, who to go to. Sometimes people are just too proudful to talk about it, to open up. But as we read Philippians 4, verses 5 to 9, be careful for nothing. I like the first part where it says, in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation means graciousness or reasonableness. The believer who is at peace with his fellow Christian and who rejoices always in his, is indeed a gracious, reasonable person. Where it says the Lord is at hand means two things. First, his return to earth is near. His imminent coming as judge encourages the Christian to be gracious unto all men. For he will judge the believer of all his actions toward all people, and will avenge all wrongs committed by others against him. One thing I dislike and that hurts my feelings is when people say that people with depression are weak-minded people. Apparently, they're not going through depression. They don't know what it is. They've never been through it. It's not a weak-minded. Sometimes you don't know what's going on. But I'll always recommend, seek help. Don't be too proud. Secondly, the Lord is at hand spiritually. The Lord's being presently near should free the Christian from fear and anxiety. God is coming soon. Jesus is going to return. We as Christians should remember to look forward to that day, to that blessed hope that our God is coming and he's going to receive us unto himself. Brother, we're alive when he comes, or if we die in Christ, we still will be with him. Hence, the command of verse 6. Verse 6 in Philippians says, of chapter 4, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? It means don't worry about anything. The Lord's nearness leads Paul to forbid his readers from worrying. This is no summons to irresponsibility or an invitation to dismiss legitimate concerns. The solution to undue anxiety is prayer in everything, in any matter of life. The way to be free of anxiety is to be prayerful about everything. While God is eager to hear our requests, they are to be accompanied with thanksgiving. Always give thanks to the Lord. Sometimes it don't happen overnight as you pray. God has to see that we trust him, that we believe that his word is true. And the pastor has talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. when he says the scripture is the scripture. Nothing can change that. God's word is God's word. You either believe it or you don't. I myself choose to believe the word of God. Peace, which passes all understanding, means one, peace divinely bestowed in times of anxiety. And that's when you, when people go into depression, or when I was going through depression, that's all I seeked. I seeked peace, and I didn't know where to find it. And I was a Christian. I believed in God. I served the Lord. But I know I shared with you before, I walked away from God. I was like the prodigal son who took off and then wind up in a pig pen. Sometimes that's what it takes to open your eyes. Sometimes I tell my wife, maybe that's what God allowed me to do, because I served the Lord. I went to school. I served in the church in Virginia. I preached the gospel. And then just because circumstances happened in my life, I let those things get in my way. I let the circumstances get in my way. Instead of just following the Lord. Lord knows where I would have been, what might be doing now. I don't know. But I failed my God. But another thing that causes depression is guilt. Guilt causes depression. And I carried a lot of guilt. I was guilty for many things that I've done in my life. But the greatest guilt that I think that really tore me up was walking away from my God and my Lord and my Savior, knowing who he was, knowing what he did for me on the cross. But it says peace, which passes all understanding, means one, peace divinely bestowed in times of anxiety. God's peace, number two, God's peace far surpassing one's own understanding of the problem, and his ability to cope with and solve it. Verses 8 and 9, where it says, finally. Finally could be rendered in this connection. Since verses 6 and 9 are related, verses 6 and 7, or should I say verses 6 through 9 are related, verses 6 and 7 tell how to obtain God's peace, while verses 8 and 9 tell how to keep it. In order to keep God's peace, we believers must occupy our minds with the right things and busy ourselves in right activities. That's why I read this right here. It says, be careful for nothing in verse 6. But in everything, and by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's see. Well, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. We need to think on these things. Sometimes depression makes you think all other things except God's word. But it says, think on these things. Think whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And he says in verse 9, those things which ye have both heard, received, and seen of me, do. He's telling us to do these because he keeps your mind on God. I prayed for God to take me out of the dark cave I felt I was in, the cave of depression. Psalms 41 through 3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard me my cry. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God's, unto my our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. In Psalms 3, verses 3 to 5, it says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield from me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. Verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me while I was asleep. took care of me, watched over me, kept me safe. For the Lord sustained me. And I'll say it again. God is always faithful. As long as we seek Him with a whole heart. In Psalms 42, verse 10 and 11. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Why they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God? Did you know that when you go through depression and God, and the devil knows you're a Christian, and we leave the Lord for a little while because of our ignorance, the devil's there. Put it in your head. Where is your God? Where is your God? David goes on to say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The slander of David's enemies were like daggers in his bones, as they taunted him, saying, where is thy God? David could but rely on himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Repeating the earlier phrase of dismay, the answer still remains the same. Hope thou in God. Always hope thou in God, no matter how tough the situation may be. Hold on to God. God is always faithful. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. In due time, sounds like a by and by or after a sufficient amount of time has passed. But the word really means a specific and designated time. God has His time. We get impatient. I don't know how many times I've cried, oh Lord, I need help. I need help. But in His time, here it refers to God's time. God knows what time. Humble is the opposite of exalt. It means literally think low. But in actual usage in the Bible, it does not gender a lack of self-confidence or low self-esteem. Humility in the Bible, in fact, is an attitude that will bolster and support self-confidence. For it simply means assuming the role that God has assigned to us in life. True humility does not say, I'm no good, or I can't. It says, this is what God wants me to do, I shall. I shall do what God wants me to do. I will follow my God. I will trust in my God. I will have faith in Him. I don't care how hard it seems. I've tried everything else. I've gone here, I've gone there, I've gone up, I've gone down. I've tried everything. But God had His arms open when I came back. I gave up. And I'm going to tell you, and I think I've shared this before, God used my wife at the time when I was all alone. I met Amanda. I love her. She didn't know what I was going through, but she started talking to me about Jesus Christ. And I never told her to stop talking about God, start telling her about church, even though she's from a Pentecostal church, but that's okay. God still loves everyone. But you know what? When she started hitting me with the word of God and telling me about church and brought me back, what am I doing? I serve the Lord. I preached in His church. I served people. I served God. And it touched my heart. And if that's how God used someone, well, praise God. God's timing. It was God's timing. God used whomever to get me back because He loves me. He knew what I was going through. Although I might have problems understanding myself, but God knew what I was going through. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It means that we do not have to bear our anxieties. We are told to toss them over to Him. Throw it all. Give it all to God. He is interested in us and willing to carry all our anxieties if we are willing to do what He wants us to do. If we just follow God, things do fall into place. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So no matter what you think you're going through, trust in the Lord, because He loves us. He loves us. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." In Him. He didn't say nothing else. He didn't say, go get a bottle of liquor, or they call it spirits. He didn't say, go get stone on meth, fentanyl, whatever it is they're doing nowadays. He says, in me, in Him, ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If He has overcome the world, what we're going through is nothing that He cannot take care of. I have overcome the world. Note the origin of the word in me. Peace. We have peace in Christ. But in the world, we would have tribulation. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Which also could mean be of courage. Be courageous. Even though we would be opposed by the world, we should remember that Christ had overcome the world. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, it says this. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We too, like Paul, should be convinced that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord. Here, Paul searches, and I'm almost done. Paul searches the entire universe to see if there is anything that can possibly separate us from the eternal presence of God. He goes first to the realm of death and finds nothing there. He looks to the angels, and they have no power to separate us. He turns to the principalities, which in this case may refer to the angelic host representing Satan. There is nothing there. He proceeds to examine things present and finds nothing. He explores the future. And in the things to come, there is nothing which can separate us. Nothing can happen now, nor in the future, which can remove the love of God from us or us from His eternal security. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from our God. We're in the Lord. We're in the Lord for life. Forever. For good. Not part-time. Not half-time. Not three-quarters of a time. Forever. So no matter what we go through, to us, it may seem like it's going to last forever. But God is always faithful. I want to tell you something before I close. It touches my heart, but it really is. I don't mean to cry like a baby. But I carry this most of my life. I was 19 years old. I used to live in Everett. And I used to work as a finish carpenter for a company. And on the weekends, when I didn't have to work, I used to go up where I lived over there in Everett. I used to go up this treehouse by myself. I was always going, every weekend I would go by myself up in that treehouse. And I didn't know the Lord at the time. I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. I was by myself. Nobody hardly ever went up there. And when I found that treehouse, it was like a studio apartment up there, to be honest. It was a nice treehouse. Whoever built it did a good job. So I used to go up there every day. And I drank beer. I smoked dope. Almost every Saturday. And one Saturday, I was up there. And I was doing my thing. And there was this 14-year-old kid that came up here. That came up there. And he says, I need to talk to somebody. And I told him, get lost. Get lost, kid. I don't want to talk to you. I mean, leave me alone. He goes, no. I need to talk to somebody. I said, well, go find somebody to talk to. Leave me alone. This is my treehouse. And he yelled out, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself, he said. And I said, this is exactly what I said. So if you're going to do it quickly. Hurry up. Get out of here. After a while, I got down from that treehouse. And I walked to the store. And on the way back to where I lived, I saw fire trucks. I saw sheriff department. I saw the Everett Police Department. I saw ambulance. Didn't think none of it. And then as I got closer, there was a police lady out there blocking one side of the sidewalk. And she says, you got to go around. I said, yes, ma'am. But could I ask you a question, please? And I said, may I ask, what's going on there? What happened? She told me a 14-year-old boy got his head a shotgun. That was a kid. They came looking to talk to somebody. And I didn't want to talk to him. I don't know if I would have made a difference because I wasn't any better than probably he was. I was doing my crazy things. Maybe if I would have just gave him an ear. You know, I carry that all those years. And I ask God, please forgive me. When he took me out of depression, I promised anybody that wants to talk, I'd be willing. I ain't a doctor. I ain't a professional. But I just give an ear. I will lend you my ear. If you know somebody that needs to talk, if you know someone who's always by themselves, if you know someone that's always crying, crying doesn't mean that you're depressed. It's a natural thing to cry. It doesn't mean you're depressed. But if it lasts too long, and you see people isolating, a person isolating themselves, they want to be alone all the time. Don't really think that they want to be alone. They just need somebody to talk to. And I carry that almost all my life. You know, just 5 more minutes and I'm done. I'm going to just mention, there's certain people that I know that kill themselves because of depression. I had a friend, Jesse, big, tough, burly guy, big man, V-shaped, big macho man, tough guy. No matter how macho and how tough, how many fights he got into, as you get older, he got depressed. And he killed himself. I used to know a young lady. We went to school together. Her name was Virginia. She was depressed, always on drugs, got busted, went to jail. The next day they found her hanging in the jail. She killed herself. I had a friend named Mario. He was so depressed, he was so hurt. He kept drinking and drinking and drinking, and he drank anything and everything that got in his hands. The last time I saw him, he came when I used to live in Linden. He parked his friends that came and visit. I asked him, where's Mario? He was in the back seat. I went and talked to him for a little while. I said, Mario, what's the matter with you, man? Why are you like that? Why are you killing yourself? My wife left me and this and that. I understood his hurt, but I didn't understand what he was going through, really. The next day, he wind up dead. Killed himself drinking. Depression is something you don't mess with. So if you know anyone that has depression, please give an ear. Hear him out. Brother Caleb, thank you very much.